Good morning. Good to see everyone out. I'd like to welcome you to New Harmony Baptist Church. Looking forward to a great day in the house of the Lord. Way of prayer requests, I know we've got a lot in our community right now that's suffering from COVID. Different thing. The young Boyd fellas, anybody heard from him in the last day or so? I know he had been really low, but I had heard that he had had a couple good days and things was looking better, so continue to pray for him, that he is not very old at all, and he was in bad shape with COVID. We have any others, which Adam Downs been in the hospital. He's getting out today, we think, and I know there's, his wife has been sick with it, and many in our communities is just hitting us really hard. Remember, Happy Hill Baptist Church has had a lot of it. I think their pastor was positive too, and of course, you know, they had a member that passed away last week with it. So also Crossroads Church, remember them over in towards Fruithurst, they've had a bad time with it lately. So continue to pray. Pray for our church as we're coming up on our Thanksgiving season, and we know that it's a hard time on a lot of people. As those that's lost loved ones and stuff, you really begin missing them. A lot of depression goes on this time of year. And just pray that God comforts them, as I know He will. But He uses us. He desires to use us to uplift them and to be His hands and feet to them and to reach out to them. Do we have any prayer requests I don't know about? Anybody have one? Remember Kenji? He had a little procedure done. He is doing pretty good. Yes, Charlene Brown, many of y'all know Ricky Pritchard. His sister Charlene is, they've called hospice in with her, and she has been like a second mother to me throughout my life. So y'all remember her and just pray for her family. She called me Thursday and told me that hospice was coming in, and that she said, I'm not giving up, but I'm tired. And she said, it's time, and I'm trusting God's way, and I'm the treatments has just been wearing her out so bad. So y'all pray for her husband Steve and her daughters, and they live in South Alabama, but y'all remember them, and just ask God to come from His will be done. Any others? Remember our nation, as we all know what this week has held, and I just pray that I know God's will be done, but I pray He helps me trust Him in ways I think I know what I need, but He knows what I need. So His way is perfect, and help me as I try, pray for me as I try to, just not in this situation, but every situation of life, that I trust Him. When things don't go my way, things don't go the way I think it should go, that He's still perfect, and He changes not. So thank God for that. Any other prayer requests? If not, we will go to the Lord in prayer. And everyone pray their own way, and we will begin service. Father, we thank You for this time You give us. We thank You for this opportunity to come out to Your house and freely worship You in spirit and truth. God, we thank You for the nation we live in. We thank You for the ability You give us to come and worship You in a place that is legal, and we can do it freely. God, we have taken this for granted so long, but God, we thank You for it. Lord, we ask You to be with this great nation and lead and comfort. God, we pray for those that have the virus that is in the hospital, the Dalton Boyd that's in the ICU unit. We ask You to touch his body. God, just heal him to be Your will, be with his family. God, we pray for those that have lost loved ones, those that have had surgeries or going for surgeries or whatever the situation may be. God, we ask that You touch in that situation. Lord, I ask that You help us today, that You help us to worship You in a way that's pleasing. Most of all, God, we desire Your Spirit to be in our midst. God, I ask You to touch our singers this morning. Let them sing for no other reason than to bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ. And God, as we come to preach, I pray you touch my lips. Don't let me say anything that you're not approved of, and that, God, that every word will be to lead others and to comfort others to your precious Son. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Oh, there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Every blessing pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Seek ye first the Thank you.
Oh, come to the altar,
The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Treasure you found. Wish I could sing. I just picked up right there. Again, good to see everyone out. I failed to thank everyone for the Pastor Appreciation Lunch and all we had, and Stephanie brought it to my attention. Without her, I'd truly be lost, but thanks to each one that cooked or came, and the gifts and everything was given. I appreciate it very much. This is the fourth year. This is 4 years I've been here already. Pat said it felt like 40, and I didn't have a gray spot in my beard when I come here. And now look at it. Pat's put every one of them there. And we were talking about Pat before church. She wasn't here, so we could talk about her. And me and Derek was talking about guns and shotgun shells and stuff, and asked him how long he thought they would last. He said, "My granddaddy's got some as old as Pat." I said, "Well, I wouldn't shoot them. They're probably crumbled." Pat was born when the Dead Sea was just sick. So, show you to be late next week. You got your Bibles, turn over to Romans chapter number 8. Glad we were able to have good fun in the house of the Lord and thank Him for it. Very important message, I think, today is as every time, but we tend to think that consequences or things or that we didn't go our way, we get down and out and we tend to think that life is that we've known it's changed, and we make up a bunch of stuff in our minds. And our minds are powerful things, and Satan can use these thoughts to hinder us and to keep us down and get us depressed. There's nothing worse than a depressed child of God, because we have no reason to be depressed. We are a blessed people. No matter what happens, nobody can change that. We belong to Jesus. We're the most blessed people in the world. Romans chapter number 8, is verses number 37 through 39. This is very familiar scripture. I quote it almost every time I preach, probably, because it's one of the most powerful verses in the scripture about what we have and the protection we have and the security we have. I believe there is no more powerful force in the world and in the universe, however you want to word it, than the Almighty God. There's none more powerful. There is only one God. He is the one true God of Israel. There's no others. There's one way to that God, and it's through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's only through the love He had for me that I have an opportunity to have a relationship with this Almighty God, this all-powerful God. God can speak and things happen. He can think and things happen. He is so powerful. So it's important that I understand that He is in control of every situation, everything. And more than that, to put it on a personal level, He is in control of me. What I do does not even change who He is. It cannot. Even if I don't believe something, it don't change what God said about it. It don't change what God did or is going to do or does. Nothing can change it. So these verses this morning in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Father, we thank You for this truth this morning. God, we thank You for this security. Lord, we ask for just a few minutes that You help us preach this in a way that's pleasing unto You. God, I pray that You bring comfort to me and to this congregation as we're living in a time of pandemic, a time of uncertainty, a time that we just don't know what's going to happen. But let us understand that You're still in charge. You're still on the throne and nothing can ever change it. Father, we thank You and we love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The title of this sermon, of course, is "Nothing Can Separate Us from God." Nothing can separate us from God. And I said it, I've already preached this one time this morning in Sunday school, so they get a rerun. But there is nothing, you're going to hear that word a million times today, but there is absolutely nothing or no circumstance that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. You got to get that down and clear. Number one, I want you to see that nothing can separate you from His grace. From His grace. His grace comes from the love He has for us, so nothing can separate us from Him. It says it right there. Nothing separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of His great grace and His great mercy, He has offered salvation to all men. And the Bible says that He does this on a way. Now listen, God knows before the beginning of time who would accept Him, who wouldn't accept Him. But brother, me and you don't know that, so we must tell every creature about Jesus Christ. We must tell everybody about the grace that He offers and how it's offered freely. Now listen, it cost Him everything, but it cost me nothing. He offered it to me freely. I simply have to get to receive it and get to be partakers of it. And I don't understand it. It don't make any sense to me. But it's only by the love of God that His grace was handed down to me and you. The Bible says that that God is love. You want to think about what love is. It is a picture of God. It's all His attributes. It's all His makeup. It's who He is. He is love. You see, we all have one word that can describe us. All of us do, whether you realize or not. When I say your name, there's one word that comes to mind that nobody has to tell me. It is put there because I know you. When I think of Pat, I automatically think of old. When I think of Bree, I think about talking. When I think of Blake, I ain't going to go there. That's a different sermon. But when I think of these things and when I think of Jonathan, it's all in a line. It's perfect. Everything is in the right place. And you see, we all have that thoughts of it. And when you think of me, you see a bunch of scattered like you throw it up in there. That's how I like it to be, because I don't know which way I'm going anyway. But listen, we all have a word that describes us, and the word that describes God is love. He is complete love, and nothing ever can separate that, or nothing can change that, that God is love. Nothing or no one can change that grace. It says it in the scripture, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. That means there's not a situation you can get yourself into. There's not a person ever being created or a thing or anything. There's not any single thing you've done or you can do that can separate you from the love of God, because this love is from Him and not us. It is based on God's faithfulness and not my righteousness, because my righteousness is filthy rags. And the thing that I do that I think is good in the sight of God, it is filthiness, because I am of a sinful nature. The only thing that makes me acceptable unto God is the blood of Jesus Christ applied to my heart and life. And it's the only thing that makes you acceptable. The Bible says that no one is good, no, not one. There's not a single one that's any good. You may think you're good, and you may think that little child sitting beside you is good, but we're all dirty, rotten sinners before God. And without His love and His grace, we would be separated from Him. But thanks be to God that He loved me and He loved you, and He sent a grace in the form of His Son to reconcile all men back to Him. What about that this morning? Listen, nothing can separate that wonderful, wonderful grace. This is what I told them in Sunday school. We have allowed the enemy, Satan, to let us believe that we can separate ourselves from God. That something I do can separate me from God. You see, we all have sin. If you don't have a sin in here, I'd love to meet you. The Bible says we all have something that separates us from God. We have something that besets us from God's will. I don't care if you, I say it all the time, Billy Graham or whatever great preacher you want to think about, I promise you, if he's honest with himself, he has a sin that so easily besets him. He has something that gets his eyes off God. I've got one, you've got one, as a matter of fact, I probably got more than one, and you've got more than one, but we all have sin that separates us from being what God would have us to be. And we think that when we allow that to creep into our lives, that we have separated ourselves from God, and that I have decided that God no longer loves me, and that God has done with me, and that God cannot use me. Friend, I want to tell you today that there is no creature, and I am a creature, I am created of God, and nothing I can do can separate God's love from me. Not even myself. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 12:9. This is Paul. I got to give a disclaimer here, because some people think that Paul's thorn was a health problem, was his eyesight. Personally, I don't believe that. It's up to you to believe what you want to believe, because it doesn't rightly tell us, but I think that Paul's thorn in the flesh was a sin, was a temptation, if you will, that would knock him down when he got to feeling like he was something. Because listen, if I had been able to preach as Paul preached, I would think I was something. If I'd been able to do what Paul done, I would think I was something. But God would send this thing to Paul, and it would knock him down. And he never could get over it. Listen to this. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'll rather gladly glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." God told Paul. Paul prayed about this thing three times. Three times, Keith. Paul prayed about this thing three times. And God told him that His grace is sufficient. Now, I'm not going to ask you to tell me what sin it is, but I do ask you to be honest with yourself. Does each one of you have a sin that you just cannot get over? It creeps in every time you are by yourself, or it creeps in of when you're at work, or it creeps in when something, a temptation comes, and you just cannot get away from it. Do you have that thing? And if you're being honest with me, and I don't care how great you think you are, but the answer to that question is yes, you do. You do. How many times will God allow me to partake in that thing before He is done with me? How many times? Well, the Bible says that I am to forgive people 70 times 7. So if I'm to forgive people that much, listen, God's forgiveness is way beyond mine. And the grace that He has provided is sufficient for me. And all, listen, I cannot run it out. I shouldn't try to. The Bible teaches that we shouldn't continue in sin because of grace. But listen, our sin cannot outrun grace, because when our sin comes, the grace comes more abundantly. The Bible teaches that when the law comes, there comes the grace in more. My friend, you cannot separate yourself from the love of God, because His grace is sufficient. You won't run it out. You cannot get it low even. You can't make it even move on the fall mark. It does not move. It is there, and you can never change it. And listen, somebody here today needs to understand this, that nothing you have done in your life has separated you from the love of God. You may be in a place where God is not using you right now because of things that you're allowing to take precedence over Him. But my friend, if you'll turn and come back to God, I promise you, you'll find something that you are the one that moved that God did not. Nothing can separate you from God's love. And His grace is given because of this love. Paul said, I prayed that God would take it because I was tired of dealing with it. But God said, my grace is sufficient. You see, it's in the times of weakness that we think we are done. It's in the times of weakness that we think that I cannot do anything else. I'm done. I've sinned. I've found my place in this terrible situation. And surely, surely God is done with me. His grace is sufficient. For in the time of weakness, He is made strong. You cannot separate yourself from the love of God. It's given by grace. Secondly, you can't separate from His protection. Psalms chapter 91, verses 1 through 16. This is long. It's a whole chapter, by the way. But listen as I read this, and read along. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The same love that brought about grace brings about protection. It brings about protection. Listen, if I'm protected of God, I don't know anything else can come about me. Now, the Bible tells us, I think it is in this same chapter, in verse number, I can't remember what verse it is. Let's see. I think it's verse 30, 31. It says, what shall we then say these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side and His protection is there because of love, and nothing can separate me from the love of God, then nothing can separate me from the protection of God. There's not ever been anything formed by anybody that can come against God's people that God does not allow. And if He allows it, He will make a way through it. There's not a single thing that God will allow to come against you that will overtake you that He is not able to handle. He is in complete control, and the same love that allows the grace to come to us, it provides protection for all of God's people. It tells in Matthew, don't worry about what you're to put on. Don't worry about what you're to eat or what you're to drink. He said He provides for the sparrows. He provides for all these things that don't work, that don't toil, and He makes them beautiful. And how much more are you with God? Listen today, if you're a child of God, may I tell you, you have a great protector. His name is God, Almighty God. And He is in control. And nothing can overtake Him. Not a single thing. Not a single creature. You see, you have to go back to that verse. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. You see, we get excited about things to come. Why? Because we cannot see what's to come. We think we know what's to come, but we don't know. We think we know what we're going to do tonight, but we don't know. We may not even be alive. We think we know what's going to happen next week, but we don't. We're not there. Listen, this God who provides this love, this protection for us, may I tell you that He can see eternity. He saw eternity past, eternity present. He is an all-knowing, omnipresent God, and nothing can take Him by surprise. And the same love that He promises, that He's graced through, He promises protection for His children. Nothing can separate you from that love. You say, well, there's some scary times out there. There's some scary places. All people is afraid of something. I'm afraid of heights, and it's in that list. People are afraid of depths, and it's in the list. We got one here that's real big, and he's afraid of darkness. I ain't calling no names, but he's the biggest one in here. We're all afraid of something. That's our human nature. We fear. And boy, lately have we not saw that we're being controlled by fear even. And fear will control you, and it will allow you to do things that's not normal because of this fear. But listen, when you understand that perfect love, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. That this God is love, and He protects you through this love, and nothing can come against you because He is protecting you. He's got you under His wings. He's got you in His hand, and nothing can pluck you out of the hand of God. My child, would you understand one thing today? That in God you are protected. You are secure. I tell them in Sunday school, and this is a weak illustration, but it's mine, and I'm simple, so I have to do it that way. I do not like heights, and y'all know that. I fly when I have to, but it's not my favorite thing to do. My hands sweat the whole trip. I'm a nervous wreck. I listen to everything. When the motor changes, I have a heart attack. When you hit a pocket of air, my heart jumps. I mean, I'm scared to death. But I liken my life to an airplane ride. And it's a terrible explanation or example, but that's what I'm doing. You see, I can remember the first airplane I ever got on. I walked down that jetway. I was by myself. And there was Value Jet. It had just opened up the week. I got on it the week after it opened back up from crashing when the one crashed in the Everglades. I rode that Value Jet that next week that it opened up. And I got on there scared to death. But I remember as I took that first step, I thought, there's no backing out. There's no turning around. I'm on this thing. It's completely up to this machine and this man whether I make it to Orlando. You see, with God, I stepped on that thing in 1997 not knowing where I was going to end up. I really didn't understand this thing. I just knew I needed something that I didn't have, and it was Jesus. I stepped on not knowing where I was going, and I'm leaving it up to the man driving of where I'm going to wind up. But I know the destination because my Bible tells me. But you see, once I'm on an airplane, I cannot do anything about it. I don't know how to work on an airplane engine. I don't know how to fly an airplane. I sure can't fly myself. I don't know how something so huge stays in the air. I know it's through lift, but my mind is not that smart. So I don't understand these things. But I know when I stepped on that plane, I trusted it. And listen, I have trusted God to get me to where it is I'm going. I don't understand how He does it. I don't understand how He's going to do it. But listen, at that plane, I had a doubt in my mind that thing was going to make it that day because Value Jet had a bad reputation. As I get on one today, whether it's Delta or whatever, I have a doubt in my heart that I'm going to make it to my destination without crashing. That's just the way I am. I think negative. But with God, I understand something. My destination is secure. It's just as I am already there because that's how sure His Word is. His Word is that sure. He has promised protection over me and over you. It's just as secure as the grace. We have this assurance that God cannot lie, neither can He change. The The Bible says he cannot lie. Because he cannot lie, he swears upon his own self. That's in Hebrews. He cannot lie. He cannot tell you something that's not true. And he cannot change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He promised Abraham that his descendants would be of the stars of the sky, the sand of the sea. And we studied in Sunday school, Abraham didn't know how that was going to happen. Isaac didn't look like it was going to happen through Isaac. And then Isaac come along, and then Isaac didn't know how it was going to happen. He didn't have children. And then his wife conceived these twins, and then they fought against one another. It didn't look like something was going to happen. But brother of mine, in your righteousness, will have nothing to do with God's faithfulness. Nothing at all. God is faithful. He loves you more than you love anything. You see, you think you love your children, but God loves you way more than you even understand how to love. And we do love our children. We'd do anything for them. We would sell all of our being, all of our goods. We'd give our life if it took it to for our children. But God loves you even more than you can imagine. John 3:16. You don't have to put this up there. I didn't put it on the list because everybody knows it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now if God give his Son for you and for me, then why'd I believe that I'm not secure? Why would I believe that he wouldn't protect it? If it's worth enough for him to give the best thing that heaven had, which is the Son of God, then surely it's worth enough for him to protect. You see, that's how we know we're secure. He loved us so much, he gave his Son. If it was something that was just there and I could change it, he could have gave something way less value than his own Son. He could have offered an animal as he did in the garden. But he so desired to have a relationship with man, and one that was lasting and one that was eternal, that he had to give complete holiness for it, which was his precious Son. And if he loved you enough to give his Son for you, my friend, he is going to protect you and keep you, and you're going to be okay. I promise you. Your protection is just as secure as a grace. Lastly, nothing can separate you from his promises. Nothing. John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again. Don't say maybe. Don't say I'll think about it. Don't say if you're good enough. Don't say if you don't sin. Does not say if you don't sever the relationship with me and you. It says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. My friends, that's a promise of God. It is secure. You can trust in it. God has a promise that he has given you, that if you have received this precious gift that he gave the whole world, then you have a promise of knowing that you have a mansion or a room in the Father's house. When you study about this thing, when you study a Jewish wedding, you understand a little bit more about this verse. You see, in a Jewish wedding, people would be espoused or they would be engaged. Could be up for some years. But most of the time, it lasted about a year. And any time within that year, that groom could come get the bride because they was already legally married. He could come get the bride. And the whole time he was away from the bride during the espousal period, he was building a room on the Father's house. And when the groom didn't even know when the room would be done. The room was done when the Father said the room was done. When the Father saw that the Son had prepared a place for the bride, he would then go tell the groom to go get the bride and bring her home. This is what this verse means. That you have a place, you are the bride of Christ, there is a room being prepared for you, and my friend, when the Father sees the room is done, he's going to say, go get that bride. You say, but wait a minute, I don't know if I'm holy enough to be part of that bride. You're made holy by the blood of the Lamb. And I just tore the mic up. But you are secure and you are safe, and you've got a room. Got a place that God's prepared. He's going to return. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 8 and 10. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You want to know why he's not back yet? He just told you. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to the repentance. This is what great love does. But listen to this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works of therein shall be burned up. Boy, it's going to be terrible, ain't it? But listen, the place that he has prepared, the promise that he has given that he will come again. I've told y'all the story, but I'm going to tell you again. The little Indian guy owns a store at the house. At my house, I go in every morning. Not every morning I go in, but the mornings I go in, he's burning his incense there in his little box. And me and him cut up with each other, and I call him a Mexican. He calls me a redneck, and we go at each other and have a good time. And he said something about Jesus the other day. And I said, yes. He said, where's he at? I said, he's going to come. He said, I don't think so. I said, he is. He says he is. He's going to return. It's a promise. He hasn't returned yet. No, but he is. You see, that verse says that a day is of 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day. God is not on a timetable as me and you. The reason he has not returned, and it's God's will, it's God's desire that all men come to repentance. Will all men come to repentance? No, they will not. All men come to repentance and miss this day that verse 10 talks about. He will come as a thief in the night. My friend, because he ain't come back in 2,000 years, don't believe what you hear that he's not coming, because he is. He is going to return. But just as that promise of him returning, we have a promise that we will win. We have won. It's not that we will win, we have won. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. This sounds like winning to me. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Are we not waiting on that day? No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more sin. No more failures, no more cancers, no more coronaviruses, no more racial situations going on in the world, no more elections, no more anything. We have won. Praise the Lord. We should be a happy people. And we have allowed a situations in our country and in our nations and in our world to get us a place where we think that God has lost control. What is he going to do? So-and-so won this election. What are we going to do? Listen, it don't matter who wins the election. It ain't changed who God is. And it never will change who God is. And I'm afraid that we may be trusting in people more than God. You cannot trust in a person. You cannot trust in your spouse. You cannot trust in me. You cannot trust in your boss at work. The only true thing you can trust is truth itself, which is Jesus Christ. All men will fail you. I am guilty of talking about some friends of mine that I work with or different things, and I'll say, you know, so-and-so, he don't know the Lord, but bless him, he's got a great heart. It's the biggest lie I've ever told. His heart's wicked. All of our hearts are wicked. The Bible says we can't trust them. They're deceitful. But we have a promise. Nothing can separate us from this promise, because it's given by the love of God. God loves you so much that he created you as you are to be. You say, well, he made me short, fat, skinny, ugly, or whatever it is. Listen, it ain't no mistake how God made you. You made the way he saw you to be made, and you are perfect to him. We're allowed outside forces to tell us what is perfect, and that's not it. You are perfect the way God forms you. Now, God desires you to take care of your body. I understand that. But God forms you. Not only did he do that, he desired you to have a relationship with him. that was broken in the Garden of Eden. And when that was broken in the Garden of Eden, by the way, that did not take God by surprise either. And us that always had this redback hymnal I cut up about Pat about, we have that thing, we sing this song that is so unscriptural that God searched through heaven to try to find somebody. That is a lie. God knew before the foundation of the world who would be the substitute for the sin. Would be His precious Son. He sent Him to die for all humanity. Not willing that any should perish, but we know some will. But would all would come to repentance. You see, in His great love, He sent His Son to die for you, to die for me. And after I have received that, I believe He has secured me. I believe that. Some may not agree with me. I don't care. I know what I believe, and it's settled with me. Because I believe that if it was good enough for Him to send His Son, that thing is secure. And that nothing I should do should separate me from the love of God. My friend, that was perfect love given His Son for me and you. And I think it. God does not desire you to be fearful. God does not desire you to be anxious at this time. God desires you to be at complete rest, because we have a promise that is so secure that He'll wipe away all of our tears. There'll not be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying, neither pain, for all those things are passed away. You've heard it said by preachers for years, and I'll say it again. I have skipped ahead to the back of the book, and we win. We've already won. You see, I enjoy watching Alabama game more when it's gone, when it's off, than I do when it's on. Because I can skip all the nervousness and go to the end and see who wins. We have won. For the last several weeks, I had us pray for our nation. And I'm not going to lie, I had a way I wanted it to turn out. And I'm not going to lie, it didn't. In my eyes, God's will hadn't changed. God's still the same. New from the beginning. But in saying that, everyone that can, would you please come back to the altar? Let's lift up our nation. Lift up the one that God's going to put in charge of us. And pray that God would turn hearts and lives to Him. And that God would bless our nation. I believe He still can do it, and He still will do it. You see, I just told you, a man's righteousness has nothing to do with God's faithfulness. It don't matter who is in charge, we think, of our nation, of our cities, of our state, of our whatever you want to do it, our companies or whatever. God's still as faithful as He can be, no matter who we think is in charge, because they are a flawed man. We're going to lift up the name of those sick again. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for one another. And I want to say this, everybody will make their way up, please. If you can't come, I understand. Sit where you're at, we'll be fine. If you can't make your way up here. We're at a time of year when the times are changing physically, when it's getting dark earlier. And because of that, depression comes upon people a lot more. One of the greatest places of depression in our nation is Alaska, because of the way the time is. It affects our bodies, and people are getting depressed situations. But I want to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with crying out for help. If you need help in this time, you come to me, or you come to someone, or go to a doctor, or wherever it is, get the help you need. And I know I have been there myself. I know people will say, well, if you got faith, then you shouldn't be depressed. You shouldn't be that. Clinical depression is real. I know preachers that's been through it. I know people that's been through it. Don't be ashamed to ask for help. And God will provide that person. He can provide a doctor with knowledge of how to treat it. And just please, don't be afraid to do that. Father, we come today thanking You for this day. God, we come thanking You for everything You've blessed us with in our nation, in our cities, in our church. We are a blessed people. God, I ask that you continue to bless the United States of America. I know that we are a nation who has tainted the ways that you would have us to go. But God, I pray for you to put a burden upon our hearts that we may protect the unborn, that we may protect the ones who can't protect themselves, and that God, we may lead the lost to you. Lord, you're in control. Your promise is still as secure as it was 100 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, or 10,000. You have not changed. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you we can trust you. God, now we lift up these people in our communities that are suffering from the virus, the ones who have had surgeries, the ones who have had little procedures or whatever it is. We pray that you heal their bodies. We pray you be with their families and help them as they take care of them. Give them strength. God, we pray for those that are having children. God, we pray protection of those babies and of those mothers. As we have two in our midst today that, God, in the coming days that will be delivering, we pray that you be with the doctors, be with them, and keep them safe, and be with those little children. God, we ask you to give us a desire to serve you better. Give us a desire to come together as a church, to lift each other up, to lift our community up, and to be what you'd have us to be in this community. God, we ask you to go with us as we go home. God, may we take something that you've said today through your word, not my words, because my words are my opinions a lot of times, but God, your word, that Bible never changes. And let them focus on that scripture, and may it change our hearts and change our minds. God, go with us, bring us back tonight, give us a good time of fellowship tonight. And God, these blessings we do ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.